Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Glory to God. Now, you know, I was going somewhere where I was had gone to also to just, you know, to spend time and seek the Lord and also, you know, to whatever. So I was in the plane and the Lord said something to me, which, and usually this is how it happens. He speaks one word, just one thing, and then you start digging it up, and then you discover a whole message around that one word. Now, this time, he just told me one thing. He told me linen ephod. You know that? The linen ephod. Just that. So I started thinking, linen ephod. I knew it was a priestly garment, which the priests used to wear. A priestly garment which they used to put on, made of linen with all these, decorations and beautiful stones, 12 of them, after the 12 tribes of Israel and so on. And I knew God had, what I knew is that God had put a lot of emphasis on how Moses should make the linen ephod. So when he first saw him, one of the first visitations of God, Moses going to speak with God, he told him how to make the linen ephod, what colors, how they should peg each part of the garment and so on. And he spends a lot of chapters in the book of Exodus explaining the linen ephod. And you know, usually that makes me think there has to be something, you know, very important about it, which is eternal, not just for that moment. Praise the Lord. Now, so I went and started looking at linen ephod in the, you know, in the scripture. Now, there was a time long ago when I would have to, like, almost through the Bible to find it, before Google. Some of us got saved before Google. Praise the Lord. Some of you are Google born again people. But now, of course, you just go and put in an effort and it shows you the scriptures where they are. Life is good these days. Anyhow, so I discovered a few things which I found interesting. First of all, it was a priestly garment. And only priests wore it. But then, it was made of gold, which is, a color of perfection, made of purple, which is a kingly color, made of blue, which is so many times a prophetic color, and made of red, which is a priestly color, because red blood, you know, priests, they did in red things, slaughtering, you know, animals and so on. So it was made of gold, of blue and purple, which are kingly colors, but also prophetic, and then made of red. And very, very strictly, so many times he tells him, even you tell him how to sew it. Can you imagine where God is even telling him now you will sew it like this? This is how you do it. Then you put a girdle around it of this color. Anyhow, so I discovered one interesting thing is that the only king who actually would put on the linen ephod was David. Nobody else could put it on who was not a priest. Praise the Lord. And then I also discovered that he's the only one who would make sacrifices. Yeah? David is the only one who would make what? Sacrifices. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 8. Now this is about Saul. Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. This is talking about Saul. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Go ahead. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. Go ahead. And Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed and that the Philistines gathered together at Mishmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Now, interesting that Saul's kingdom is torn just because he made a sacrifice. But David made sacrifices and nothing happened. And he did it. I'll show you, for instance, in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Start from verse 17. He did it all the time. And he also all the time wore the linen ephod, which was not supposed to be worn by kings. It was supposed to be a priestly garment. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in the place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Now, this is what caused Saul's kingdom to be taken away. But David was doing it and nothing was happening. And when David had finished the burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Okay, you can stop there. He also gave them food and told them, go and eat. And he himself went. But now the thing is this. Why is it that David could offer burnt offerings? Why is it that he's the one who customarily wore the linen ephod and nothing happened to him? And if other people did it, it was like, for Saul, it was the end of his kingdom. Samuel told him, after 7 days, I'm coming to Gilgal. Saul waited 7 days and Samuel wasn't coming. So he went and made the sacrifice. And then Samuel comes as soon as he has finished and says, now, you've lost it. God would have established you forever, but now he's not going to. Praise the Lord. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 6. What does it say? It says, now it happened when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, that he went down with an ephod in his hand. Now, this man who fled was among the priests who were killed by Saul. Remember, there were 70 priests who were killed by Saul because their head had given David food. Remember the showbread which he gave him? I'm saying remember to those who read the Bible. Those who don't, you remember. Anyhow, so now one of the priests ran away, but he ran with an ephod, which was a priestly garment. And then he ran and joined David. And David told him, come and be with me, because Saul is seeking your life and he's seeking my life too, so you'll be safe with me. Now, okay, then says, and Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars. Then Saul called all the people together for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, bring the ephod here. Right? Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver you. Now I'm trying to show you that ordinarily, David would ask the priest who had the ephod, inquire of the Lord for me. But he didn't do that. He says, bring the ephod. And he puts it on, which he's not supposed to do. And then he inquires of the Lord, and the Lord answers him. And he does it again in chapter 30, still 1 Samuel, chapter 30, still verse 6. Go ahead, what does it say? And he did that all the time in Gilgal. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Now this was in Gilgal, when he came back, and, you know, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. Verse 7. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. Now, again, David inquired of the Lord, should I go and attack the Amalekites? He said, go and get them. You'll recover everything. Now, why was it that David almost got away with all this? Why nobody else did? There is no other king who could wear the ephod. There is no other king who could offer a sacrifice. Before him, you saw what happened to Saul. And after him, you go to 2 Chronicles. So many years after David, 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Go ahead. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God. Go to the next verse. Then Uzziah became furious, and he had incense in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord, beside the incense altar. Go ahead. And as Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead, he was leprous. So they thrust him out of the place. And indeed, he also hurried to get out before the Lord, because the Lord had struck him. The next verse. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. And he dwelt in an isolated house for doing something which David did all the time. And nothing happened to him. So before David, priests offer sacrifices. Prophets prophesy. Even Samuel used to put on the ephod. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18, he would put on the ephod, although he was... But Samuel was before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. So the prophet would put it on, the priest would put it on, the only king who put it on was David. Praise the Lord. And of course, there is a reason why, which is what the Lord was trying to show me. And that is because David is the one who combined all the offices. Praise the Lord. And that's why Jesus is called the Son of David. He brings the prophetic, the priestly, and the kingly. And also because the reason he was telling me that is not just to teach me the Bible, was to tell me that office is perfected in us, of kings and priests and prophets. Praise the Lord. So now, that's why he could do it and get away with it. Nobody else could. And that's why he was unique among the kings. And then when he said that, I'm going to select somebody who will accomplish my will, that was the will of God from the beginning. By the way, at the beginning, it wasn't the will of God to separate all those offices. You read Exodus chapter 19. Start from verse 5. Exodus 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if this is before any law was given, this is before Moses went to Sinai. He says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people, for the earth is mine. Go ahead. Verse 6. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Now that was before he had consecrated Aaron as a priest and the Aaronic priesthood. But you see, David was not even from... Aaron was the son of Levi. David was not from that line. He was from a different line. But he combined the kingly, the priestly, and the prophetic. And that's what we are. Praise the Lord. Now, that's what the Lord was telling me. Now, we have to perfect that office, the office of David. Where you're a priest, you're a king. So we have to perfect this office. And completely. And know that there are kings among us. Amen? But kings, but they're also priests among us. And these are two different things. Because you see here, he says, God tells them that the whole earth is mine. But I chose you among all the earth, talking about the children of Israel. And he says, if you obey my commandments, then I will make you a special treasure. And you'll be a kingdom of priests. He did not say there will be some priests in your kingdom. Everybody was supposed to be a what? You'll be a kingdom of priests. A holy nation. Not some holy... Now, that was the original intent. That there is this kingdom and everybody is a priest. And it's a special treasure. And he reminds them, the whole earth belongs to me, but I chose you. Now, why? To make them a prototype
A prototype is, and God does that all the time, gets one person and makes them an example to others. Okay? Just like he chose Abraham to be the father of faith. And Abraham demonstrated to people how to believe God and also and he became the father of faith and the father of everything that is of faith. Then the descendants of Abraham as a nation to be a prototype. Now the idea is he gets one nation, makes them a special treasure. You know what? And he mentioned that so many times in the scriptures. Makes them something unique so that everybody looks up to them in admiration. And when they admire them, they admire their God. Because you see, all the other nations had gods. So he had to demonstrate his greatness through some people. And he told them, if you obey my commandments, you'll be a special treasure in all the earth. The whole earth is mine, but I chose you to be an example. Okay? And now he does that all the time to make prototypes. And says, now you will be the example to other people of what can happen, what should happen, what a king and a priest is supposed to do. Praise the Lord. Then you go and step into an arena where people thought you have no business stepping. Okay? What is a man of God doing in politics? Prototype. Praise the Lord. Prototype. A time is going to come when everybody, you know, the children of God are all in those things. Eh? And they understand the David, what it means to be a son of David. Eh? To combine all of them. But there has to be a prototype. And now even when you go, people say, and people come and give you prophetic words. Katunda agaba, jotani sokuwaba. That you stay in preaching the word, you're getting lost. Prototype. Amen? Yeah. Prototype, because because that time is going to come. You see, this stupidity of Christians thinking that they are supposed to be led and not to lead is ending with me. Yeah? Like, I remember I told you this. There was a time when I would sit with some friends of mine and would sit somewhere. Don't be offended that I'm so confident of what I'm going to be. I am. Eh? You think God was revealing me in an effort for nothing? Praise the Lord. You guys, you will see. You will allow. You will allow. You will allow, by the way. You're joking. Now, I remember I used to sit with some friends of mine. Most of them were working, you know, like we were getting used to the decay that was happening in the nation. So sometimes I would sit on Sunday and have, you know, tea at my place, and they are talking about all these terrible things that are happening in the nation. And we thought terrible things were happening back then. But now, man, they're on steroids. The terrible things are on steroids. But anyway, we'd talk about those things. Then I remember I became so consumed with what was wrong. And then I became so critical. Eh? And then one day the Lord told me that, you pray for your nation. But then he also told me, you either pray or you criticize. You cannot do both. Now that was a tough paper for the nation. Then he says that, pray for the leaders. Then I remember almost every time I would be praying for leaders. Then at some stage he said, this is about 2017. He tells me, so you think I'm going to use the heathen to do my will in your country? Eh? So who are you going to use? Praise the Lord. I'm not going to go. But anyhow, my point is, so now there is a lot of people in the church who are praying for leaders, but they don't want to be those leaders. And honestly, that's stupid. Because God's constituency on earth is us. So if he's going to do anything on earth, he's going to do it through what? Prototypes. That's what he told Israel, that the whole earth belongs to me, but I want you to be the people who people look at and know that I am great. So they look at Israel and say, your God is what? Now, in those days when people went to war, it was not just the nations warring, it was the gods of nations warring. So when they would, you see, when the Philistines went and killed Saul and Jonathan, they took their bodies, they cut off the head and took the body to the temple of their God and thanked their God for what? Giving them victory. Because for them it was a battle of gods. Now, every time that Israel was defeated, the God of Israel was defeated. You understand? Because the prototype, of course, we are letting him down. Praise the Lord. But now, the idea was, when you're on top, then your God is magnified as superior. Amen? Like when prototype, when David goes and encounters Goliath, and Goliath curses him in the name of his gods. You come to me with a stone, am I, you know? And David says, you come to me, you know, with your gods and whatever, with the power of a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And he's speaking loudly so that Goliath hears. And he says, I come to you in the name of the Lord, whose armies you've defied today. Then he says, this day I'm going to cut off your head and feed your body to the birds and to the animals, that people might know that there is a God in Israel. You see, now it is about gods. It's not about Israel. It's about gods. Which God is going to triumph? Now, when you understand that David, son of David, praise the Lord, that the kingdom of priests or priests and kings is going to be perfected in us, then you will know that it's not just everywhere you go. A priest changes the atmosphere, calls heaven in that place. You understand? And you know what kings do? Okay, some of you know, but I'll tell you later. But you see, somebody was telling me that they went into a house, and the house has weird things. You know, some demonic presence, what? Children are dreaming things at night, cats and what? Now, there is a time you'd say, find another house. But now you say, no, you're a priest, change that house. Plant a flag of Jesus Christ in that house. You see, because you can't enter a place and it stays the same. And you have to be conscious of that. Absolutely conscious of it. So even when I go into a hotel room like I was, once I leave there, you know, the person who sleeps here is going to be blessed. Because I planted a flag there. You see, now planting a flag, you see, even these people go and plant a flag on the moon, if they did. But they claim they did, but I wasn't there, so I don't know. But anyway, my issue is, you go somewhere in a haunted, you know those places, eh? That's, now previously you'd run away, but now that's what I want. Eh? I want to go there in that haunted place, eh? And then I come and say, now I've arrived. All the demons, even if they are buried there, they are going to have to take off. I remember some years ago, Prophet telling me that he went to stay in a hotel in Imbale, and it was haunted, clearly haunted. And some of you know it. He said, you're even going, they are taking you to the room, and you're in a corridor. Then suddenly a man appears there, in front, walking. Then you see a man walking, then suddenly he vanishes. Then I said, catch me staying in such a hotel. I would rather sleep in my car. But now I will go there very well, because I know that once I go there, something is going to change. Praise the Lord. Because I'm a priest. That's what it means to be a what? Yes. Because I come there with a presence. Now, establish dominion. I remember one time I went to, now this was a bit later. I began having a sense of understanding of this. And there was some member of parliament who was talked to me about a position which she had lost, but which she still wanted. But she had lost it because somebody wanted it badly. And that person I knew was a person who is deep in occult. So I told her that, have you left the office? She said, I'm in the process of leaving. I told her, just take me there. She did not. If she had, she would have been installed back as that in that position. I told her, take me to the office. I just need to stand there. Like witchcraft? Witchcraft? I just need to stand there. Now I'd started understanding who I am. This was a bit later on. So I told her, please take me to that office. Because you see, there are things where people, even believers, who should know better, do not understand the wield, the power of a priest. And that is to change, to take space away from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So now I told her, please take me there. She said, no, you know, you see, now, what? Because she brought me there to pray those prayers. Eh? And you see, you can't force somebody to believe things which they want to believe. Eh? Okay, which they are not at the level of understanding. Eh? So eventually she didn't take me there and she lost the position. But now how do you lose to somebody of witchcraft? How? A priest, you? You understand? Eh? So when somebody comes and tells you that there is somebody in our office who is just put on your linen effort in the spirit. Eh? There is a spiritual linen effort. Put it on and go and say this office. You think you can mess me up? I have arrived with the linen effort. And then the presence of God comes in that place and you transform that place. Now those things of this place is over haunted, this is what, man, I love that. I absolutely love it. Because I want to go there and encounter and say, haunted. All the ghosts come, here I am. In my linen what? Yes, you think they can? They can't. But you see, you have to be conscious of who you are in the spirit. You have to be absolutely sure of who you are. Eh? And now, everybody, I'm talking about everybody, it's just kings and priests. Now, kings, you see, there are all sorts of things which need cleansing. Eh? Times they said, remember when they said politics is a dirty game? Eh? Because it had dirty people. Eh? So how does it become a clean game? There's nothing that you say those things and then they go and make rules for you and they lock you up for 2 years and you can't pray. But they don't lock witch doctors up because that's where they go. Praise the Lord. Now you see, this perfection of when David becomes king of Israel, he goes and now this is the other thing which the Lord told me. He goes and captures Jerusalem from the Jebusites. The first conquest he made was Jerusalem. And when he captured Jerusalem, he called it the city of David, also known as Zion. And then he erected a tabernacle. And then he went to get the Ark of the what? Of the Covenant. And brought it and put it in that tabernacle. And it was called the Tabernacle of David. Now in the New Testament it says God is restoring the Tabernacle of David. What does that even mean? Because the word tabernacle means dwelling place, a dwelling. So when it says the word became flesh, meaning Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among men. The word there is tabernacle. He became flesh and tabernacled among what? Men. So in other words, he was there, tabernacling among men. Now, where somebody is a king, he's a warrior, he's a prophet. Do you know how many prophecies David made in the Psalms about the Messiah? So many. Even things which are grand. The things which are in the Psalms are amazing. Where somebody is a prophet, he's a king, he's a priest, he's a warrior, the son of David. Praise the Lord. Now when he says, he will do my will, so I've got a man after my own heart, who will do my will, is to combine those offices, all of them, so that somebody is a king or a president, and he says, give me the linen effort. I want to inquire of the Lord. Eh? should we do business with this country? Then the Lord says, yeah, do business with them. Can you imagine? Eh? Like that is the king and priest. King and priest together and prophet together in one person. That's why there's so much. I mean, there's David, even the new Jerusalem, which is coming down from heaven. It's called the city of David. I was wondering, what is so special about David? He's just one of all the kings of Israel. No, he's not just one. He's the only one who could do certain things, who combined all those offices. Praise the Lord. Now, kings, you people, do not understand that when you get into a business, go there as a king and a priest. Huh? Like, we need kings and priests in finance. You enter as just another person. Like, how can you enter as another person? You're a king and a what? You just have to put your leg there and place yourself there. And then make sure you're putting on your linen effort, which is a spiritual awareness of who you are. And you see how it will unfold for you. Now, I'm telling you what what's going to happen in 2023. Eh? Like, you can't enter and be an ordinary person. You cannot, and you should not, in anything, by the way. And now, it is all going to depend on how you consciously know what you are and who you are. Everything depends on what you know about yourself. If you do not know, now, when I tell you right now that they tell me a place is haunted, I say, hey, I want to go there. The only difference between me now and back then is what I know about myself. But otherwise, nothing has changed. Okay, the levels of authority maybe have changed. But otherwise, I mean, I was still depending on the power of God then, and I'm still depending on it now. Only now I know more of myself in that regard than I did back then. That's why now I wouldn't be scared of being in a hotel and a man just shows up in front of you out of nowhere. You've not seen him coming out of a door, but in a corridor. Then he walks, and you're seeing him. Then, see, he vanishes. So I asked the prophet, so what did you do? He said, no, I just continued. So I would be there and pray. He said, yeah, okay. Then he said, after some time, he would leave, and you would feel the thing coming back when he has, like, taken a drive. Then he says, when you would come back in the evening, then you would see it lift and go. By the way, now that hotel is no longer haunted. Kings and what? Hey. So now I want some haunted places. Do you know Vinny? I'm trying to mess up. But because if I want to be in a place, how can the devil make me not be there? The devil? Are you kidding me? The devil. And I want to be there. It's not possible. But now you see, even in there are arenas where people enter and they are not conscious of the fact that they are supposed to be on top. Eh? Like, just be conscious of that. Just always have it in your mind. Eh? Always have it in your mind that I'm supposed to be top. There was somebody whom I told the other day, go and rule that area. Go and rule it. And you see people will say, amen, amen. But they are not actually conceiving what I am seeing. Eh? That go and rule, go and actually rule. And now when you enter with that mentality, that I'm a king and a priest. Of course, you know what kings do. Kings rule, don't they? Kings have jurisdiction. And their jurisdiction, in their jurisdiction, they are all respected. And they are honored. Let's read a scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Start from verse 13. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you, praise the Lord. Now, every king has a sphere of influence. Now, Paul is saying that when I'm in my sphere, actually in the King James Version, it says my authority, my rulership, because that's what a sphere is. And every king has a what? Has a jurisdiction, has a place where he's in control. Now, if I leave my sphere and go to a sphere which is not mine, I do not go with my control. My control exists where? Within my sphere. For instance, I can say I want to be, I'll give an example, a musician like Sarah or like, you know, Sandra. And I go there, I don't have, there's no sphere for me there. Nothing. Like I go there and you've given up your authority. It's like you're a king in, let's say in Buganda, and then you go to South Sudan and you think you're a king. You're not. You're a commoner. You're only the king when you're where your jurisdiction is. So now everybody has an area, a jurisdiction where they are kings, where God has placed them. And this is what Paul is saying here, that I have a sphere of influence, which includes you, saying the Corinthians. Then he says, we, however, will not boast beyond measure. Go back. Will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. Next verse. Then he says, for we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. Now you see, sphere is also talking also about authority. He says, I'm not overextending myself. When I come and tell you, Corinthians, and tell you what to do, my sphere includes you. So I'm not overextending myself. But you see, there are people who are experts at building in other people's sphere of influence. You know that. Eh? And I do not even want to honor the people who are in that place, whose sphere that is. And do you know that all people like that always, always, always fail. Always, always fail. I remember sometime long ago, I was just seated somewhere having tea with Prophet. Then he told me something. He told me that he just started prophesying. Then he told me there is somebody in the field of sports who came and joined sports, and he doesn't like you. Actually, he detests you. He's not going to go any far because he doesn't like you. He says it's going to mess him up. And I got to know who the person is. He has tried and tried nothing. He was playing in my sphere of influence. Now, if he just liked me, you'd go far. I'm telling you the truth. Because if God has given you a kabanja, you are in charge. It's your kabanja. Like somebody comes and messes up with it, they mess themselves up. Praise the Lord. And now, I even say something about nothing. I know who the person was. He detested me. He detested me. Up to now, when I have moved from sports journalism to what, you see, eh? The guy is still there struggling. He writes a column. And when he came, I think he was thinking, what's so special about this guy that everybody thinks is what? Then he decided that he's going to just... And you've seen people like that, who enter a field and they decide they are going to pull down somebody. And by that, by the way, this even has nothing to do with man of God. Or nothing. There are people who have their spheres of authority. Okay? Mm. And that is, by the way, that is the rule of life. When you learn that, when you enter a field and you find people who have been there and who have established their spheres of authority, I remember, I'll give you an example to show you that this actually is how life works. There was a time when there's some guy, some Northern Irishman, who came and was a very talented golfer, supposed to be the heir apparent to Tiger Woods' throne. But then he went and abused Tiger Woods and started belittling him. And I told somebody, that's the end of that guy. And he reached somewhere and vanished. Those of you who follow sport might know him. But you're supposed to be all that. But when you find some, you respect them. That's how you get far, you see. Eh? You can supersede them by actually respecting them. Now, I gave you that example to show you that it works. It is a spiritual law. It works everywhere. It doesn't matter if the person you're talking about is born again or no. They have their sphere of influence. Somebody comes and is, you know, the one ruling the golfing world. And for you come and you think the best way to take over that throne is by belittling him. It will never happen. You actually kill yourself. I think he won like 3 majors and then vanished. I don't even know what he's doing now. And that's what always happens all the time. All the time. Just sphere, what Paul is saying here, that a sphere of authority. And you go and you try to tackle somebody's authority in a And like you mess yourself up. And you could have actually exceeded that person by just showing them some respect. Praise the Lord. You understand? Now you try. I'll give you an example. You try, you are a lawyer, newly graduated, and then you go into the field of law and start blasting all top lawyers. You are never going to go anywhere. Never. It will never happen. You understand? Like, that law always applies. You find somebody in their sphere, just respect them. Because they have they are kings. They may not be priests. For us, we are kings and priests. But they are kings. And every place has kings. They are kings. And now you can tell somebody who is going nowhere by just the way they treat people who are in certain places. Anyway, for it was to you, for we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. Okay? Go ahead. Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is in other men's labors. Now, they are experts at boasting in other men's labors. And you ask them, what have you ever done yourself? What have you ever started? But you wait for other people to start and then you shine in their labors. And then you go nowhere, you see. Because everyone has, he says, we are not boasting in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, so we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. You see, I hope you understand what he's saying. So now, you come and find people, establish a church, establish a sphere, okay, of influence. Then that sphere grows, grows and goes somewhere. And then his sphere increases through the people whom he initially, you understand? Because the people he's writing to, some of them also went and became apostles and prophets. Now he says, my sphere increases by, you know? For instance, when Akena goes and becomes an international, you know, end-time preacher, my sphere is increasing because I don't even have to be there. I might be when I've moved somewhere else. But you see, and the thing is, that's how it works for everybody. So he says, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. Okay? Go ahead. Verse 16. Then he says, to preach the gospel in regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. There are people who are experts at boasting in somebody else's sphere of accomplishment. They don't have their own. And by the way, God wants to give everybody their kabanja. You understand? Now, you see, when the Lord started calling me to be an end-time preacher in 1990, I think 5 or 6, thereabout, he gave me some kabanja. Now, when I move out and go somewhere else, if anybody actually wants to become big in that area, they have to actually honor me. It is just like that. If they don't, they will go nowhere. Praise the Lord. Okay, you might think that you don't like that, but it's the truth, whether you like it or not. Amen? That's what it is. That's what it is. Because I remember, like, when he told me that I want to use you to awaken the church to the reality of the soon return of Jesus. And I ran with those words for almost 10 years. Just those words. Now, the other day, when we had the Watchman Conference, some guy came, a man of God. Now, he heard what I was preaching about, you know, Prince Charles and what. Then he told me that, yeah, okay, I've heard what you're saying. But you know that Nostradamus said this. By the way, let me tell you something. All those things which they claim Nostradamus said, they're all fake. They only happened, he only said them when they have already happened. And it's fake. I am teaching you what the Bible is saying. You're a man of God. And you're telling me Nostradamus, who was a demonic man? Are you kidding me? I just looked at him and I kept quiet. But the message he was trying to give me is that I know more about this than you. But then, if he wants to prove that he knows more about it than me, let him first gather the 3,500 people we had there to listen to him. You see, there are certain things about spheres which you cannot change, which you cannot forge. You understand? You cannot forge a sphere. It is there now. I would say, Watchman Conference 2023, and you will see people will come. You say it and see how many will come for you. Now, there are spheres. Now, when God gives you a sphere, man, he has given it to you, like you really rule over it. And now even those who are going to excel in it, they just have to acknowledge. Eh? Just that simple acknowledge. And then they go and thrive. They can even supersede you and become bigger than you. Let me tell you. I know that there's this Nigerian pastor who is the son of Kenneth Hagin. Now, he built an auditorium of 50,000 seater auditorium. His sons have auditoriums of 100,000 seater. They gather 2-3 times the crowds that he gathers. But he's their father in the spirit. And that doesn't change anything. You understand? Eh? It doesn't change anything. Like, you can go and apparently become bigger than that person. Very easy. But you have to acknowledge. Now, they have their annual coming together of sons. They call it something, which I will not say. Now, these guys who came, one of them even said that for him, he doesn't have to seek God for a message. He just preaches what Papa preaches. The guy has a church of 100,000 people, just repeating what somebody else says. And I said, this is amazing. Then, when they have that annual gathering, you know those Nigerians, they say, we brought a seed that shakes the ground. They bring money in the tens of millions of dollars. Like, they bring money. Now, that papa of theirs, that papa of theirs, when he went and met Kenneth Hagin, he met him only once, he carried the seed that shakes what? And went to him and said that, you've come, you have an appointment. They say, you wait there. Wait. So he waits. Then they tell him that, yeah, now the man of God will see you. The man walked on his knees from where he was at the reception up to when he met Kenneth Hagin and gave it. Now, wise people of this age will say, that is, guess where those wise people are? They are earning salaries and have houses on mortgage. Now, this unwise man gets seeds in millions, tens of millions of dollars, and the man is just like, there are certain things which your wisdom is going to take you nowhere. Now, the wisdom of the Spirit, by the way, is when God gives you, and now I'm saying this because so many of you have these bubanjas, which God is carving out for you this year, where you're going to become very, very sure about it. And I'm saying this as I'm ending, where you are going to be very sure that this is my sphere of influence. And then you know it. And then you build it by the tabernacle of David, which means, let me just read one more scripture here, which is going to be true for. Hallelujah. Okay. You remember when 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 6, it says, when they, 2 Samuel, yeah. And when they came to Nashon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Go ahead. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error and for his presumption, it says actually, and he died there by the ark of God. Go ahead. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. Okay. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? Go ahead. So David would not move the ark of God with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Go ahead. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. How long? And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Okay? Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. Now, I want you to imagine, what kind of blessing can you get in 3 months, 1, 2, 3 months, and it is so evident that even people go and tell the king? Like 3 months, that it is so much that people go and tell the king, do you know? I mean, what happened? Did he plant maize and it grew in 1 week? Like, what kind of what kind of blessing is that, that in 3 months, the word has already reached the king, that since you left the ark there, that man's house has been blessed. 3 months. And I said, this is amazing. So the presence comes and dwells among you in the house of David, because you're sons of who? In the house of David. And in 3 months, your blessing is a source of news. 3 months. That's amazing. You know, you think, what happened? Did the man's wife give birth to triplets, quadruplets, what? Well, I mean, I don't understand that in 3 months the word has already reached the king that since you left that ark there, something has happened. Somebody say, that's my portion. Eh? Now you are going to see. Let me even stop here before I dilute, eh? Because you are going to see wonderful things. Eh? The tabernacle of what? The tabernacle of David, which means God dwelling among his people. Glory to God. And you being cautious of the Lord's presence on you, upon you. The tabernacle. Just the consciousness of it and the knowledge of it, that everywhere you go, you're carrying the presence of God. Everywhere you go, you have your what? Your linen ephod. Is it an ephod? Or an ephod? Ephod. Eh? You guys, eh? Victor, what is it? Eh? Ephod. Okay. According to which Ruzung, which university did you go to? are you a Mchiga? You're not. Eh? I want a Mchiga. Mchiga might give us an interesting. Anyway, that's a joke. Eh? That's a joke. Anyhow, like there are things up there. Like that name. Anyway, let me not go there. So you're conscious of the fact that you have your what? Epod. Okay, whatever it is, eh? All the time. And you can inquire of the Lord all the time. And you're like King David. Eh? You combine the prophetic, you provide the kingly. So you have your kabanja where you have jurisdiction. Amen? And you're conscious of it. You know. Now, the reason I tell you that, I give examples of myself. I say, this one is my. It's because you also have to have yours, eh? Where you say, this is mine. You cross here, you have to have permission from me. Praise the Lord. That's what it means to be a king. And now, you get it inside you, and you go and manufacture it and convince yourself about it. That in this area of finance, eh? Praise the Lord. In forex trading, anybody who comes here has to come and consult me. This is my kavanja. Eh? And you convince yourself of that, and you're conscious of it, and in 3 months, the news reaches somewhere that ever since the ark of the Lord was in the house of Eric, things are happening in a very dangerous way. Can you imagine it reaches the king 3 months? Man, that's amazing. Praise the Lord. So you have to go and, no, like, don't just float around. Eh? When I told you that I was my sports, like, do you know they used to call me Uganda's voice of sport? Do you know that? Do you know who gave me the name? New Vision. Now you come and start messing around with me. That was my cover, Anja. Don't touch. You come there, you have to respect me. And you thrive. By the way, let me tell you, there is a gentleman there who came. I know he wasn't good at all. But he's all over the place. He's on every radio, every TV. and in monitor, is it monitor, NTV, what? He's like up there in sports broadcasting. Do you know why? Because the guy liked me. Now, that might sound vain, but it is the truth. It is the truth. That's how it works. If you are an upcoming, let's say, musician, then you go and find gospel musicians who are there and you start tearing them down. Ah, that one is fake. This one is fake. You are going nowhere. You're going nowhere. It's not going to happen. You have to just respect them and honor them. And you can become much better than them. Like those pastors, who says, I just copy the other one's message and preach. But he has 100,000 people who come to hear him copying somebody's message. And the person from whom he's copying doesn't have 100,000 people. Do you understand? So this, it is not like you're being conceited. No, that's how God gives those territories. And he gives you a territory and says that I've given it to you. And now you go and capture it, make it a part of you, and then you start giving. Now for you, you want to enter forex trading? You first come and talk to me nicely. That's my area. And what? Who do you think you are? Okay, if you don't want, it's okay. Then the person gets hammered, losses, until they come and say, okay, now I've accepted. The next time they go and trade, profits. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So, that's how it works. Amen. And by the way, God shows it to you sometimes in external ways. Very, very external ways. I told you how. Now, this thing blessed me so much because God was showing me something which I needed to see and to know. Because I was still building something in the spirit. But I told you that time when I got that office there at Renzori Towers, and the people who were managing the office, the managers of the office, came to me, two Kenyan ladies, came to me one day. I've told you this, but I'll say it again. Came to me one day and entered my office. I even thought they had come to increase my rent. Then they told me that watchman, what does watchman do? So I told them that, why do you want to know? I don't do anything illegal. They said, no, we didn't think you did anything illegal. We just want to know what you do. Then I said, why do you want to know? Then they told me that ever since you came here, before you came here, we struggled to get clients for these offices. They told me, but since you came here, the moment you signed the contract, now we have filled all the offices. And they told me, none of them is even born again. And they told me, it has to have something to do with you. Can you imagine? Now that thing blessed me so much. I said, so I'm so blessed that even when I just come here, suddenly, do you know, I reached there and I found they were giving prizes for anybody who brings tenants to those offices. For me, I came, as soon as I signed the contract, within about 2 or 3 weeks, the offices were all occupied. And it was so spectacular, they actually accredited it to me. People who don't know me, who did not know me, they came and said, it has to have something to do with you. So I said, it shocked me, but I pretended I wasn't shocked. So I kind of like, yeah, I'm hot like that. But I was absolutely shocked that so the blessings of God are so powerful on me that I just show up in a place and somehow that thing blessed me. It blessed me after that because it was observed by people who don't know me, who are just, as far as I'm concerned, I was just another tenant. Now, after that, they were even scared to increase my rent. They would increase for other people except me because I might carry my blessing somewhere else. And they lose all their tenants. Do you know, for 2 years, they told me that my current rate will last 6 months. It took 2 years for them even to start suggesting that they should increase my rate. And I said, okay, I will pay the, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, if you don't know where your kabanja is, man, you have to go and stir it up. Praise the Lord. It can be anywhere. There are some people who have
land titles in the financial world. Eh? If you want to succeed there, if you don't go through them, you're trespassing. It's trespass. Like the other sports journalist was trespassing in sports journalism. And as he comes to what? It's prophet who told me. And I was just saying, I just started prophesying and telling him there's some guy who does not like you, but he's going to fail. Because, and the guy, I know him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you happy?
Yeah?
Yeah? Yeah. Are you excited about 2023? Yeah. By the way, let me tell you, man, this year, man, I'm just so excited. Yeah. Excited. Huh. Things are going to start like unfolding. Eh? Now, yeah, by the way, like, by the time we get to the end of this year, I will be unrecognizable from what you see right now. It is only those who are seeing with the eyes of the spirit, with the eyes of flesh, who are going to what? Who will understand. And I'm even seeing some other people here who are going to be unrecognizable. Totally unrecognizable. And now because we don't have time, I'm just going to pick a few of them. And now they have been also going through tough times like you. Tough times, but good things. Now this man here was a member of Watchman, but then he went away. Juko. But still things are okay, because now you put on a lot of weight, but you got married. You know what marriage does to what? To people's weight. How are you? You okay? Are you still in designing and what? Tailoring? Okay. Who is the other person, woman? But you, powerful things, Sandra also you. Three months. Come. 3 months. Praise the Lord. Amen. 3 months. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I open new doors for you, in the name of Jesus. You stay seated. I open new, fresh doors for you, in the name of Jesus. That cause a multiplication, in Jesus' name. New areas of favor, where you're recommended, and you go and find a lot of favor there. Because favor follows you wherever you go, in the name of Jesus. That has been your story and is still your story, but now it just becomes bigger and bigger in Jesus' name. Amen. Rika Mazantarewa show from Abraham, my heart is still drawn to you, because I see like a real powerful like opening, openings. Where God gives you the desire of your heart, you think, you've been thinking, I can do this, I am good at this, I can, like there is a lot of information that you can give. But it's almost like there was no platform. But now God is creating one. Yes.
Now the first one of, not the first, but okay, the first major one will be in South Africa. And to not even come through the person, the people whom you know there. You know there are people whom you know there. There's somebody I know there who said they are. No, no, no. If it comes that way, you'll not know that it's a miracle. Eh? To come from nowhere, eh? From out of, as if it was from out of the blue. Eh? Eh? And you'll sit on that plane and you'll give glory to the Lord. Eh? Because that's what you want. That's what you've desired. And now the desires of your heart are being filled. Praise the Lord. It's okay, you can sit down. What's a spleen? What's that? Here, where does it be? What does it do? Okay, I'm seeing somebody who has a problem with that. Where does it be? Stand up and show. You have pain in here. What's the purpose of a spleen? Medically. What does it do? This one has forgotten his what? What does it do? Because somebody needs an explanation for them to really understand what it is. I'm seeing there's somebody who came here as a spy because he's working in a certain project, and now even I have a good news for him. He's seated behind there. He's going to get a promotion in that project. You know the project I'm talking about? You don't know, but he knows. He's going to get a promotion, and he's going to be given big responsibilities, and he'll be taken away from these simple informal things. So I'm also blessing him. I'm blessing him to go and get big things. But what he's going to get is going to take him out of Kampala. If he's a good person, you'll come and tell me. Okay, whoever that spleen person is, according to Google, white fights in what? Germs invading the blood. Okay, white blood, okay, whatever. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because your healing power is in this place. Your healing power is in this place, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. And you know this guy, he's even a soldier. He's a soldier, and he has not been promoted in a long time. But now I'm promoting him. Now I'm promoting him. And if he's a good person, you come and tell me that I was there spying on you, then you promoted him. But you know he's going to give glory to somebody else. But I promoted him, but that's not my command. So he can do whatever he wants. But I've promoted him. He's here, he's a soldier, but he doesn't put on uniform. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to promote him? So that he does more serious things than to attend fellowships where he has no interest. Praise the Lord. Okay, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. And I just want you to define what you see in the period that the Lord has given us, 3 months. Just paint a picture of it and believe God that something powerful is going to happen in that period. Everybody, including the people in the view, ma, are you hearing what I'm saying? As you continue, paint that picture and... Okay, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because you make those things come to pass. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, say amen. Amen. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Plot 9 Kulubia Road, Bugolobi. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram @the_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, or send us an email to info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.